Ancient Egypt regarded the fisherman's lot as the most miserable of all trades. To be a fisherman, you had to buy a franchise. To keep the franchise going, you had to pay taxes and bribe your way through a whole serried rank of tax collectors. Also, there was the dangers that are associated with being on open water. Crocodiles, an angry hippopotamus or so. And then, of course, there is the smell which eventually seeps into your bones. The same level of exploitation existed in Palestine in the first century. The needing to buy a franchise and keep it open, not only through taxation, but also through bribery, which could get to be quite an extravagant cost. You were catching food, but of course the food value is very one-sided. And so as a fisherman, you also had to pay for grain and vegetables and grape, whereas a peasant farmer could have quite a good subsistence from his land, even though the produce would be taxed almost to the same exorbitant degree as that of fishermen. The fishermen didn't prepare their own fish, as scholars like Hansen show us, for further distribution, but they did often produce one of the most prized food additives in the Roman Empire. The food additive was garum, which is made through the intestines of fish being thrown into an earthenware jar, because as you clean the fish, you put all the other bits into this jar. You add a few whole fish, the tiny whole fish like spelt. You seal the jar and you put it out in the sun for 6 months after having added a good quantity of salt to the inside of the jar before sealing it. The resulting liquid is then strained through cloth and basket and then bottled and distributed, also with its own series of taxes. Because of the prized nature of garum, it was a food additive to almost everything, including ice cream. So it exceeded the popularity of ketchup and of Worcester sauce amongst those classes who could actually afford it. And you can imagine that working with this stuff, you wouldn't smell very good. Eventually it would cling to your very soul itself. So fishermen stank. They were highly oppressed. They scraped a living from what they were doing. But it was a regular living. The Sea of Galilee is rich in its supply of fish. The only dangers there being the storms, and we read of those in the Gospels, and in my experience of being at the Sea of Galilee, the catfish. They are aggressive and they're fairly enormous. And you can't do anything with them because they're not kosher fish, so they have a wild time. If you were a revolutionary leader in the first century in Palestine, fishermen would be the best possible target because their level of dissatisfaction with the structures of society and the levels of corruption were extraordinarily high. And so it comes as no surprise that Jesus, as he chooses his fishermen, begins to be regarded with a certain amount of hesitation by the ruling and the moneyed classes. Also, his choice of somebody like Judas Iscariot, Iscari not being so much a surname as a description, a wielder of knives, a militant revolutionary, added to that whole mix of Jesus' disciples. They were the lowest of the low, the poorest of the poor, the most outcast of the outcast other than lepers, and really, really very dissatisfied with their own leadership and with the leadership of the Roman Empire and all its exorbitant taxes and all its exorbitant corruption and bribery. We can't make a parallel between our sometimes unhappiness with taxes and the unhappiness with taxes in the first century. We are now talking about mega taxes. We are talking about mega corruption. Nothing in the modern world comes anywhere close to what was happening to particularly fishermen at the time of Jesus. So Jesus chooses the most violent and unruly lot, and smelly to boot, to become his disciples. He is choosing people whom others would avoid. And he is choosing people outside of the tradition of discipleship that we read of in the Old Testament. Shepherds, tree pruners, subsistence farmers, those who are the people, other than the priests like Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel, who are called to prophetic ministry, to the following of the Lord. Fishermen, not. So Jesus is moving beyond the strictures of his society and of his religion by choosing fishermen. And he doesn't foment revolution. Rather, he gives them the hope of the kingdom of God. A hope that they belong to a rule in which justice, the right relationship between people, exists. Not will exist, but actually already exists. And living in this right relationship will overturn all other relationships which do not match up to it. And we are still part of that group. Jesus' call here in today's gospel pays no attention to social status, no attention to wealth, no attention to body odor for that matter. He calls those who are at the bottom of all trades. He calls those who are unhappy. He calls those who are sinners, and we see that in Peter's response to him. In other words, there are no limits to the generosity of his call. And as those fishermen would show us, there is in fact no limit to the generosity of our response when we become profoundly aware of that call. And so Jesus' call of the fishermen shows us that there is a call for each one of us, no matter what our place in society, and that each one of us are drawn into this revolution of experience, that in our Christian communities we can experience that right relationship with one another, which overturns all the injustices and overturns all the political revolutions which foment and boil in this world. Jesus chooses those who are really most ignored as human beings, even though the products they produce were highly prized at the time of the first century. Jesus chooses those who are just slightly less outcast than lepers. And that then, for us, is a tremendous hope. That we are all included as Jesus' intimates in the kingdom of God and in accompanying Jesus in his continuing journey in the church on earth, with the full hope that the kingdom of God is present. We are a part of it, no matter what our status, and that we too, like those fishermen, can be transformed from fishermen to apostles, drawing all people close to the glory of God in the person of Christ, in the heart of God's kingdom. Amen.